I believe that a Christian should enter the promised land in 2 years. And I'll tell you why I say that. From two examples. The Bible says that when we are born, we are like little children, babies born. And in almost every case, by the time a child is 2 years old, he can walk. Till then, he's falling, getting up, falling. You don't get upset at the nine-month-old falling, getting up. Even sometimes, a little over 1 year, they're falling, getting up. But if a child is 2 years old, and if you think of your child, if it was 2 years old, still falling, still getting up, falling many times a day, you would get concerned. Are you concerned that you've been a believer for 2 years and you're still falling and falling? Okay, even I can fall. I can trip on stone outside and fall even at my age. So that can happen to anybody at any stage. But victory over sin does not mean I'll never fall. Victory over sin means I've learned to walk. So I'm not asking you whether you ever fall or whether you ever will fall. My question is, have you learned to walk? Are you more than 2 years old in the Lord? Now, I know that's not true of the vast majority of Christians, but that's because they don't take the Christian life seriously. If you want to make sure your child never learns to walk, I'll give you the prescription for it. Carry him all the time. Never let him on the ground, put him on the ground. You carry him. As soon as he gets out of the bed, carry him. Let somebody carry him all the time or keep him in the bed all the time. I guarantee even when he's 10 years old, he won't learn to walk. He's got to be put on the ground and he crawls and he gets up and tries to walk and falls down and don't get disturbed. He'll want to walk. Now I find today in Christendom, there are so many pastors and preachers who are just carrying these little babies in their church all the time. The only message, I'll tell you what I mean by carrying a baby. The only message they'll preach to them is, God loves you, brother. You don't know how much he loves you. He's always longing for you. He misses you so much. He's wanting to see you in heaven one day. Oh, it doesn't matter if you fall. He loves you. He wants to pick you up and carry you. You keep listening to that for 5 or 10 years. You'll be a baby. You'll never in your life will you get victory over sin. Till somebody lets you on the ground and you run and fall and you're determined to learn to walk. You look at a child. It doesn't matter how many times it falls in a day. It's determined to walk. It never gives up. Oh, I fell down 50 times today, so there's no hope for me. Foolish believers say that, but not a child of God. So the other reason why I say 2 years is God's plan. Moses is describing their wandering through the wilderness. And I want you to see this verse, Deuteronomy 2, verse 14. First of all, how many years did Israel wander in the wilderness? Do you know? Altogether? 40 years. That is a punishment God gave them. Now listen to this. This is the border of the promised land, he says in Deuteronomy 2:14, the time it took for us to come from Kadesh Barnea. Kadesh Barnea was the place where they sent the spies into the land. You read in Numbers in chapter 13, the spies went into the land and came back and said, oh, we can't conquer this land. Joshua and Caleb said, no, we can go. But the other 10 spies said, no, we can't go. And the 600,000 people believed the 10 spies and said, we can't go. Canaan is a picture of the life of victory. Deliverance from Egypt is a picture of being born again. Going through the Red Sea is a picture of water baptism. The wandering in the wilderness for 40 years is a picture of life under the law. The child trying to learn to walk for 40 years. But it says here, the time it took from Kadesh Barnea until we crossed the Brook Zered, which is ready to cross into Jordan, is 38 years. And during those 38 years, all the generation of the men of war perished from within the camp as the Lord had sworn them. What does that prove? That means in God's plan, from Egypt to Kadesh Barnea, where they were supposed to cross into Canaan, was 2 years. Because they did not, God sent them into the wilderness for another 38 years. So it's from that verse that I understand that God's plan, original plan for the Israelites, was that 2 years after they came out of Egypt, redeemed by the blood, baptized in the Red Sea, God wanted them to overcome Canaan. You say, 2 years, such a short time. That was God's plan. If they trusted, you know, after 2 years, Joshua and Caleb said, we're ready. They were ready after 2 years. See what they say in Numbers. Let me tell you the history. What happened after 2 years? 2 years after they left Egypt, they came to this place in Numbers in chapter 13. The Lord spoke to Moses. This is 2 years after they left Egypt. We know that from the verse I read in Deuteronomy. Send the people to spy out the land, because I am going to give this land to the sons of Israel. That's like the Lord saying in Romans 6:14, sin shall not have dominion over you. I don't care how many giants have ruled the land of Canaan, or your life and your body and your mind all these years. They will not reign over you anymore. I'm going to give you this land. And then they came back, verse 25, after 40 days. They'd gone around 40 days examining the land. And they came to the congregation and they told them, we went into the land, verse 27, and it certainly does flow with milk and honey. You see, this is the testimony of those who have come into a life of victory. It's a wonderful life when we are living in fellowship with Jesus all the time, filled with the Holy Spirit. It's a life of overcoming, like Paul says in 2 Corinthians 2 and verse 14. He says, thanks be to God who always leads us in triumph in Christ. There's only one meaning for always, if you look up the dictionary, is 24/7. Who 24/7 leads us in triumph in Christ. Now, it's almost unbelievable, but there was a man in the Bible who said that, the Apostle Paul, and there are many men since then, not many, but a few through the ages, who've had that testimony. Thanks be to God, who always leads us in triumph, who brings every giant of Canaan under our feet, without exception. There's no giant too strong for the Lord. But they said, even though it's a beautiful land of love and joy, and verse 27, I'm paraphrasing it, a land flowing with love, joy, peace, long-suffering and gentleness and goodness and faithfulness and meekness and self-control. It's a wonderful land, the fruit of the land. But the giants who live there are strong. The cities they have fortified are so large, and the descendants of Anak was there, the huge giants. And so Caleb quieted the people and said, no, we can go in and possess this land. See, he was also one of the spies, according to Numbers 13:6. He was one of the spies. He said, I saw those giants. I know they're huge, but we can take possession of it. We can overcome sin. But the men who had gone up with him said, no. This anger, I tell you. My father had it, my mother had it, my grandfather had it, my parents told me that, and they said it runs in the family. I tell you, it runs in everybody's family, not just yours. And I cannot overcome it. That's the language of these people. No, they're too strong. This sexual lust, oh boy, it's too strong. It's too strong a giant. I know God says sin will not have dominion over you, but not when it comes to this. This particular giant is particularly strong. And we're not able to go up against the people. They are too strong for us. Think of whichever sin, the sin which easily besets you. And see if your language is this language of unbelief in verse 31. This is too strong for me. And they gave a bad report. What is the bad report? God wants you to conquer that land. And you come saying, no, it's too tough. They're too strong. The land is a wonderful land. Oh boy, I really like to live love, joy, peace, rejoice always, and be anxious for nothing, and thanks be to God who always leads us in triumph. I know I'd like to live there, but it doesn't seem to work because the giants are too strong. And when I look at these massive sins that rule my life, verse 33, I look like a grasshopper, which this giant called anger can crush every day, and this giant called sexual lust can crush every day. Now I'm a little grasshopper there. Scripture is given so that we can learn from it for ourselves. All Scripture is given for us to learn. The things that are written in the past were written for our instruction. And everybody was, you know, one thing you can see, that they wept because they were sick and tired of this 2 years wandering in the wilderness. They said, we thought we could enter into this land and these spies come and tell us. I think these spies are pictures of pastors, preachers who never enter the land themselves, older leaders who have disheartened all the people saying, no, 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 we've lived for you. Don't try and come with all your new religion. I've been a Christian 25 years and I couldn't possess the land. What are you talking about? You're just a young upstart. That's what they told me when I was a young person. I'll tell you, I thank God I did not listen to them. It took me many years to come to victory, but I would never have come if I had listened to all those old men, preachers and pastors who were defeated in their lives and tried to dishearten me. Everybody around me was accepted their word. I said, no, I don't care. I remember telling the Lord, Lord, if I'm the only person in India who believes it, I'm going to believe it because I believe your word. I'm not going to just say I believe God's word and just neglect it like a lot of people do. I am absolutely convinced that many of you, listen to me carefully, you say you believe the word of God, but I tell you to your face, some of you do not believe God's promises. It's not true. Because you've sat here in NCCF for so many years and it hasn't changed your life much, it hasn't changed your family life much. What are you believing? Where is the light shining? It's darkness in some of your homes. If people could come secretly to your home and watch what's going on. It's darkness. And yet I want to say to you in Jesus' name, it should not be like that. Let's move on. Let's possess the land. And it says here, but Joshua, verse 6, chapter 14, verse 6, and Caleb, they spied out the land. They spoke to the congregation. Look at this language of faith. The land which we passed through is an exceedingly good land. It's a wonderful life, brothers and sisters. Like it says in Proverbs 14:14 in the Living Bible, the godly man's life is exciting. That's how it's supposed to be. Every day, challenge to overcome situations, circumstances, sin. And the Lord is, if the Lord is pleased with us, verse 8, He will bring us into this land and give it to us.